Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com.
Welcome to another podcast. It's FliesOffice.com, brought to you by the Operating Engineers, Local 139, Madison Firefighters, Local 311, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and Madison Teamsters, Local 695. Joining us now, State Representative Peter Barca. He is our Revenue Secretary and the Pride of Kenosha. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing extremely well, considering the circumstances. Obviously, I feel so, it's such a heavy heart with so many of our friends who are laid off and struggling, and small business owners that, you know, are not used to doing takeout or delivery, and knowing how hard they all work.
And right. Well, and
so
you're
many people struggling.
And right.
So
and your former colleague, David Bowen, got the coronavirus.
That's right.
Yeah,
I saw that. Yep, exactly.
So, and I read what he went through. It's no fun.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I heard a little bit about that.
Yeah,
I know it can be very, very difficult, and, you know, especially for people, you know, who have compromised, you know, health conditions,
right,
or older people. They just have to have an abundance of care, as we talk about it around here.
All right. So, bottom line here, first things first. Wisconsin Department of Revenue, you do not have to file your taxes until July 15th to coincide with the federal change.
That's right. We were very heartened that because of the fact that it was declared a federal disaster throughout the entire country, we were given the authority to follow the feds, so you don't have to file or pay until July 15th. So that'll help a lot of people out.
How many people have filed their taxes already?
Well, ironically, we actually are ahead of where we were a year ago. Who would ever think, right? But as I warned the governor, that's because people have refunds coming, always file early, and now they especially need to file early. But we already have about 1.7 million people out of the 3 million that normally file. So we're well over halfway, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 60% are getting there.
All right. What do you suggest people do? I'm pretty sure I owe this year, and I'm working, so I can pay. Should you file now, or is it best to just wait till July?
Well, no, it's always good to file as soon as you're able to, particularly if you have a refund coming. The one danger of waiting till the very end is that you have a better chance of having your identity stolen. And that's one of the big issues I talk a lot when I'm out speaking to groups, whether it's taxpayer groups, businesses, even labor groups I'm still speaking to, is, be aware this whole cybersecurity threat is real. And we have 60,000 people a year that we have to set aside their returns. And it turns out of that 60,000, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 are real people trying to steal your refund or your identity so then they can get in your bank account. So and especially if you, like, let's take in your case, Sly, where you do owe money, you can file and then wait and send the check in July 15th if you, want to try and capture that little bit of interest that you might capture. So that's strictly up to each person. Some people just have this sort of sense, I got to file by April 15th regardless, and certainly they can do that. But I would file if you're ready to file. And then, wait till you feel like you're in a good position to mail in that check.
What would you say to people who have lost their jobs and owe money, and they know they're going to owe money, about paying?
Well, it's a very simple issue. I mean, so what they should do is definitely make sure you file by July 15th. And if you can't afford to pay, you know, contact us. We will work with people. We will set up payment options. You know, pay what you can pay. If you owe, let's say, $2,000, you only pay $50, pay $50. But don't just pay $50. Call us, and then we will work out a payment plan so that you can, over time, pay what you owe. But if you do that, you can avoid, you know, really steep interest and penalties. So it's always better to let us know and to work with our compliance people. And I have to say, Sly, one of the things that was so, I've been so impressed with, and we push this all the time, is just the customer service-oriented staff that we have. When people call up, you know, we ask them to take a two-question survey, and we get over a 98% satisfaction rating because people understand that we tell them, put yourself in that person's place, pretend that your brother or your sister call in, and they do that. I mean, we tape record every conversation. We listen to them for training purposes, and so don't ever be hesitant to call the Department of Revenue.
Do you have the number offhand that people should call?
Yes, let me. How about if we say that at the end of the interview?
Okay, all right.
I think I do, but I want to make sure I give the right number.
All right, that sounds good. All right, so in a situation like this, it's interesting because the legislature and the governor were debating what to do with the surplus a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it's good now that we can look at that situation a little differently. When all these states are obviously going to be having less revenue because of this situation in the state coffers, what kind of shape is Wisconsin in financially to deal with this type of thing? Boy, I remember, and I'm sure you remember this because you went to the legislature shortly after this, you know, there was a surplus in the late 70s, and Lee Dreyfus attacked Governor Schreiber for this surplus, and he gave it back. Well, then we hit a recession, and right, we ended up with a huge deficit. And when Tony Earle became governor, there wasn't enough money for operating expenses.
Right, exactly. I mean, it was such a fiasco the way that was handled, and I think that's why Lee Sherman Dreyfus didn't run again, because I think he you know, he was an honorable person, and he recognized, I think, the error of his ways. But, you know, the good news is that we, you know, going into this, you know, health emergency, we were sitting very, very strongly in a very solid position with about $1 billion if you added in the rainy day fund. Now, there's no question when you see record numbers of people filing for unemployment, and that means that they're not out buying goods and services. So sales tax revenue, we expect to be down dramatically, income tax revenue. So we're going to need every penny of that. You know, it's hard to project at this moment exactly where we're going to be, but we're clearly good, you know, through this first year of the biennium. You know, through July 1st, we think we'll be in, we have enough of a cushion there. But nobody could have anticipated this large of a recession that were, you know, has been predicted by everybody.
Right. Although it's a different type of recession, you know, the recession of 2008-2009 was caused by some different circumstances. I've heard from a number of people that, well, if we can get things going back, you know, back to normal, maybe at the end of May, beginning of June, that we could snap back.
Well, that's the part that, you know, we all are so hopeful for, and that's why the governor, you know, with great consternation, you know, was very reluctant, but came to the conclusion because of data, because of the scientists and the public health experts, went to the safe at home policy, because he feels the same way, that if we can, adapt accordingly, and you saw in South Korea and Japan, their number of cases are starting to go down. And he felt if we acted early and took decisive action, which he did, that, you know, hopefully, you know, within a month or two, the economy will start revving back up again. And the economy was very strong. I mean, Wisconsin was doing extremely well. And we think if we can snap back, we'll be doing very well again.
Well, it's a very divided state, as you know, politically. But There is kind of a common thread of sensibility and common sense in Wisconsin. And when you see the governor of Illinois and the mayor of Chicago getting very angry that people are disobeying the groups of people rule, and they're very, very frustrated. Wisconsin so far has received a B as far as social distancing. I don't really understand how they do this, but they're able to sort of put that together. So maybe Wisconsin can kind of veer this off a little bit.
Yes, I think Wisconsin has a culture of working together, and the notion that we solve problems together and we are all in this together. And I know just in my limited time out, coming over to the Department of Revenue, and you can just see the roads are empty, and I haven't heard of any collective gatherings anywhere. So that's really a tribute, I think, to the people of this great state.
Thanks, Peter. We'll be back in just a moment at slysoffice.com with more from Revenue Secretary Peter Barca.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep slysoffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from slysoffice.com. And we're back at slysoffice.com, brought to you by Madison Computer Works, Jeff's Guitar Clinic, and Gingras, Thompson, and Walks. We're talking with State Revenue Secretary Peter Barca. Let me ask you, what has your days been filled with during this pandemic crisis? What's going on at the Department of Revenue? Is this something that you ever plan for? Do you plan for the state's economy getting shut down like this?
Well, we certainly never planned for, a health pandemic like this, where, we had to go from maybe 15% of our staff telecommuting, primarily auditors that are out on the road all the time anyway, to, as of yesterday, roughly 90% of our staff telecommuting. That meant we had to, scrounge up 400 laptop computers. I can't say enough about the VITA and TCE volunteer staff and coordinators, since they had to shut down because they couldn't do face-to-face discussions. They were all, following up with phone calls that Juan Carlos Reyes, who's our coordinator, made, and gave back the laptops that we had borrowed them. And so we have 400 people up there with laptops, and we have nearly every one of our 600 Citrus licenses being utilized, so that, we've got roughly 1,000 people that are telecommuting every day. So that means that only those people that, it's essential they be here at the Department of Revenue or be in Milwaukee to serve people or in other locations around the state where it's just essential, that allows for maximum social distancing for those of us that need to be here. And that we could not plan for that. The irony is we did have a big strategic planning session where we had 1,000 of our nearly 1,200 employees participate in giving their views and thoughts. So one of the ideas was to move more aggressively to telecommuting, so we were moving in that direction, but we couldn't have planned this. Now, on the second part of your question, for an economic emergency, that we were much more prepared for. I mean, we were constantly analyzing, steps that we can take to help people when they're, having challenges, and whether that's helping individual taxpayers or businesses or, utilities or whatever the case may be, that we are always thinking about, how we can better serve our customers in the case of economic emergencies, and how we can change our compliance efforts, how we can ramp up customer service. And that part we felt very prepared for, but certainly not for the need for social distancing. That took some effort. So I would say, when you ask me what am I going to do, moving to allow our staff to be safe and serve customers in a safe manner, that's probably taken up 80% of my time. We have a daily cabinet conference call where every single day we're all reporting in, and learning what other agencies are doing so that we're coordinating. As the governor likes to say, we're connecting the dots better than we ever have before. And that allows us to have the information because, you know, people get, you know, calls from people in all walks of life. And that way we know what's happening in every other agency, too. So that those are daily calls. You know, sometimes even you have sub-cabinet meetings twice a day sometimes. And then, of course, we're having at least one in the last couple of weeks, two senior leadership calls a day here to coordinate our efforts, and then in between, just continuous teleconference meetings, you know, to plan for how we can better serve the taxpayers of the state. And our customers, you know, will participate in the lottery or our partners in state and local government, which is another big element of what we do. And one of the things that was very interesting, because we, you know, we have the law enforcement agents that regulate tobacco, alcohol and gaming, and so with the carryouts, we had to think through that whole process and modify our procedures, because in the past, people, you know, you could not carry a meal and you know, packaged alcohol products like a beer or a bottle of wine out into the parking lot. But we modified it during this health emergency because we didn't want people to congregate in a restaurant. So we allow people to do curbside, to walk out to the curb and wipe their credit card and check their ID and to be on their way. So we've had to modify so many different policies. I mean, every day there's another policy that we're changing or putting out Q&A for local officials or trying to make sure that they can have good meetings as local officials and still abide to the fullest degree possible by the open meetings law so the public can be following what's going on in their government.
What's going on with the big employers in the state like Epic and Harley-Davidson and, you know, MillerCoors? They obviously will all be affected by this, although Epic actually may get a boost out of this. They bring in a large chunk of revenue in the state. Do you foresee problems with you know, major companies not being able to pay their taxes?
Well, I think it's going to be a mixed bag because, you know, for essential services, many of the manufacturing companies are still open. If they're producing anything regarding the health emergency or serving the egg industry or providing critical services, metal fabrication companies that might be helping to produce ventilators or other critical things in the supply chain. They're I'm sure, going to do very well. But those that, you know, larger employers that really have nothing to do with the health emergency that have to have their people staying at home, you know, obviously it's going to be much more of a challenge for them.
And, of course, some question the governor keeping liquor stores open as an essential business. But from what I've read in other states where they decided to shut them down, they created a bigger problem than had they just left them open.
Well, we've tried to learn from other states that were ahead of us in terms of, you know, that went to their emergencies. My staff, myself, even personally, you know, read through, like, the executive order in Illinois, which came a week or so before us in Michigan. And so that we're, you know, looking at, you know, what are they doing and picking up the phone and calling over to those other agencies and saying, hey, how did this work and what's going on? And so, you know, obviously that was a key component of how we made sure that we were, you know, benefiting from the experiences of other states because we're, you know, we're all in a similar category. And with the carryout, you know, for those people that are going to pick up food, we, you know, made a decision that if the alcohol is packaged so that it's safe, you know, not, you can't take out a, you know, a brandy old-fashioned sweet, which, of course, for Wisconsin, is a great drink, unless it's in some prepackaged container, which I think there is a mix out there of that sort that isn't open. But, you know, the decision was made that, you know, that would be allowed.
And, of course, you know, the state lines, you live in Kenosha, so you're literally on the border. What Illinois does affects Wisconsin, and what Wisconsin does affects Illinois.
Well, absolutely, and that's why increasingly you're seeing governors and public health experts, you know, trying to prompt, you know, the president into taking national action because, unfortunately, there's still some states and even some, you know, governors and lieutenant governors that are just acting just all you can say is foolishly, you know, where they themselves, just in the last week, I think it was, you know, the One of the governors was showing himself in a crowded, you know, bar and taking selfies, and the lieutenant governor of one of the states saying he's older and he's willing to die for this. I mean, it's just so incredible.
Well, the governor of Mississippi, Tate Reeves, doing that preemption order where he stopped Tupelo. They had done a stay at home, and he literally signed a law saying, no, you can't.
I mean, that's just outrageous because, you know, for their neighboring states, you know, people, you know, we're a mobile society. And even if people are in other states are abiding by it, with his people, they probably believe they can drive across the country because their governor's told them not to take this seriously.
Right.
And unfortunately, we've seen that all too often.
Well, the new governor in Kentucky, Andy Beshear, has been on this. He's done the same thing Wisconsin has. And a week or so ago, he was mocked by the former governor, Matt Bevin, calling him Chicken Little. Well, now that the numbers are beginning to come out, Kentucky seems to have a handle on this. Tennessee just closed the bars, and they've got a major problem.
Right, of course. Of course, New Orleans. I mean, just during Mardi Gras, they showed, you know, pictures of the Bourbon Street and all the surrounding areas just being packed with people.
Right.
Now they're the fastest growing coronavirus state in the country.
Well, now that was a month ago, of course, and now Now I will say that Governor John Bel Edwards has done the right thing, and he has done a shutdown as well. But boy, they're kind of a victim of circumstance, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a very good point, Sly. Is that sometimes, you know, it probably broke right at that period when we were all becoming aware of how serious this was.
What did you, so that, you're Catholic, I'm Catholic, we go to Mass. What do you make of the president saying he wants to see the churches packed by Easter?
Well, I pray to the good Lord that would be the case, because I would like nothing better than to go to Mass on Easter Sunday. But on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I think it's irresponsible to suggest to people that in just a few short weeks that's going to happen, because we all know that's so unlikely. You know, we have a 30-day order in Wisconsin, as most states do. So, you know, it's just, you know, in all likelihood, there's almost no chance whatsoever that it's going to happen that quickly.
And let me ask you one final question. How is your staff? Has anybody on your staff gotten the coronavirus?
Boy, I thank the good Lord every morning, because, you know, I've had the good fortune my family has not been affected. And as far as we know, nobody that is on the staff of the Department of Revenue at this juncture that we know of has been affected. One thing I have to say, and you know, our staff has been just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I mean, when people call, I think they get the sense of it. But, you know, we have, our ESD unit led by Julie Reyes. Every day we do a roll call. You find out if anybody called in sick, and then we follow up to ask what their symptoms are, and do they have any symptoms of coronavirus? If they did they get tested? So that we're completely, you know, as fully as you could possibly be aware of anybody that, you know, might be staying home and potentially have the symptoms, because we want to protect every single one of our employees. We feel that. I personally just feel such an obligation towards that, so we're doing all we can to keep people safe.
All right. Now, I asked earlier in the conversation what number people can call if they can't pay their taxes.
Yes, thanks for checking on that. I appreciate it. And we have two different numbers that we utilize here, one for individual and one for businesses. And it's for individual. They both are Madison-based numbers. They're both area code 608. And like many government numbers, they're both 266. So for individuals, it's 608-266-2486. And for businesses, again, 608-266, but 2776, 2776. But if anybody Googles Department of Revenue, Wisconsin Department of Revenue, and just put in customer service numbers, those numbers will pop right up. Or if you go to our site and then go to the arena where, you know, where it has the little magnifying glass and type in customer service numbers, they come up. So, and then there's other numbers on there too, such as if you want to check on where your refund is at, how soon you might get it, and other key information that I think people will find very useful. So most people these days, I think, are on the net. And I encourage them to go to our website, because just one last little bit of information for people is I think they would be shocked to find out the kind of information that we have on our site, because our economists have on their, you know, they put up all of our reports, the monthly economic updates. We do quarterly reports. You have all these incredible graphs and maps and pie charts where it breaks down where our exports go, how much money is spent by each local unit of government. So we're very proud of the kind of information that we put out there on a regular basis. And but Sly, I can't thank you enough for keeping your listeners informed. I doubt there's anybody in the state that does more to keep their listeners aware of critical information they need to know.
Well, we are deemed an essential business, so that is what we are. That is what we are doing and living up to our license. Hey, thanks, Peter, for taking the time with us today at Sly's Office.com. Join us again next week at Sly's Office.com.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.